right, well, we are in the middle of our Mythbusters sermon series, and we're talking about the reasons that people give for why they don't believe and worship Jesus or believe in the Bible. And we're talking about these myths of unbelief, and we're looking at them to see why they are not true. And the myth that we're going to talk about today is the myth that all religions are the same. You may have heard somebody say that before when you've told them about Jesus Christ. They might say, well, I believe that all religions are the same. They're all true. They're all equal. And so why would I need to believe in Jesus Christ? Now, the only reason why people can get away with saying the statement that all religions are the same is if the people that they're talking to have no knowledge of religions. Because if you have any knowledge of the religions, you find out that they directly contradict each other and are greatly different at their core. And so to say that they're all equal, they're all the same when they contradict each other, defies the laws of basic logic. And so this myth is perpetuated out of a lack of understanding of what the religions actually teach. And so where do we get this myth? Where does this actually come from? If it defies the laws of basic logic, why do we have this myth? Well, I think it's because in American society, we're very confused on who God is and what he is like and what the truth is. As Americans, we look at our big world, globalization. We see some people over there who are very sincere about their faith and their beliefs. And then we see other people over there, and they're also sincere about their faith and their beliefs, and they hold to a different set of beliefs. And we see people over here and over there also with different beliefs, all very sincere people. And up there and over there, all over the world, we see many different types of different beliefs, all held by very sincerely by people. And so we say, well, if all of these beliefs are held with great sincerity, who's to say who's right and who's wrong? And so as Americans, we think it's much more loving and tolerant and open-minded to say, we're all right. Isn't that great? You're right. And you guys are right over there, and we're right over here. It's all good. Everyone is right. And again, that defies the laws of basic logic. We can't all be right if our views contradict each other. And we'd rather say and believe the impossible than try to face the truth. And so this myth is born out of three things, I think. It's born out of ignorance of what the religions actually themselves teach. Some people say that all religions are the same because they don't know what the religions teach. They don't know that they're different. It's also born out of a genuine desire, I think, to be loving and tolerant. We don't want to tell people they're wrong if we don't know that they're wrong. And so it's born out of ignorance, born out of desire to be loving and tolerant, and it comes out of a place of great personal confusion on who God is and what he is like. And so let's take a look at this myth. Let's see if there's any truth to it. Are all religions the same? Well, let's take a look at a few religions. Buddhism and Hinduism, these are both Eastern religions, right? These should both be the same. Well, if you want to know if they're both the same, you should probably ask the guy who founded Buddhism, Buddha. He was born a Hindu. Are Buddhism and Hinduism the same? They both end in ism. They're both Eastern religions, and that's largely where the similarities end. Buddha was born a Hindu, and he rejected Hinduism. He said this is a false religion. He rejected the Hindu ancient scriptures called the Vedas. He rejected the caste system, which is integral to Hinduism. He said, this is a false religion. I'm going to go start my own religion. And he started a religion much different called Buddhism. There are many differences, but Buddha wouldn't feel that they're the same. He'd say they're wildly different. In fact, he rejected Hinduism, started another one. Among the many differences, Hinduism is a polytheistic religion. For the most part, they believe in many gods, while Buddhism, for the most part, is an atheistic religion. I bet you didn't know you could have one of those. Buddhism, there is no God. So we have a polytheistic religion and an atheistic religion. I mean, these religions at their core contradict each other about who God is, what God is like, what God wants, and how we are made right with God. They're greatly different. Well, how about the monotheistic religions? Those ones all got to be the same, right? They all believe in one God. Well, let's take a look at Islam and Judaism. Are these the same? We could ask the Jews, if they feel that Islam and Judaism are the same. The Jewish religion had been going for thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years. At the time of 600 AD, when this guy named Muhammad went into a cave, he told everybody that God had spoken to him. He wrote down what he thought God had said in a book. He came out with a new book called the Quran, which contained, he said, contained God's words, and a new religion. And Muhammad comes out of the cave and he says, guys, I've just spoken to God. We've got a new religion. You all need to follow me. And he did a great job of rallying the troops. And they all believed that this was a new religion. This is God speaking. And the troops went over to the Jews, and they said, Jews, you should join our new religion. And the Jews said, wait, what? You just went to to a cave and came out with a new religion? Nah, that doesn't sound right. No thanks. We don't want to become Muslims. We will not follow the religion of Islam. We will follow Judaism. From the outset, Jews felt that Islam was not a valid religion, that it was not the truth. It was made up by some guy in a cave. And so the Jews rejected Islam because of important differences. They said, absolutely not. We don't buy this shtick that you're selling. And Muhammad attacked and tried to kill them. And so is there a difference between Islam and Judaism? Yes, there's great differences between Islam and Judaism. And one of the main differences, this is also one of the main differences between Islam and Christianity. The Christians have our example of Jesus Christ, who when he was rejected, he taught that he was the Son of God, that he came to die on the cross for our sins, rise from the grave to give us eternal life, and that we needed to repent of our sins and believe in him. And when Jesus came and taught his teachings and was rejected and persecuted, he died on the cross for his sins in our place. He nonviolently went to his death for his teachings. And this is one of the biggest differences between Christianity and Islam. Islam has their example, the founder of their religion, Muhammad, who instead of dying for his teachings, tried to kill other people for theirs. And that's a huge difference between Christianity and Islam. Our example, Jesus Christ, died on the cross praying for forgiveness for those who are persecuting him and killing him, while Muhammad tried to violently attack and subdue all those and conquer all those who felt differently. And so Islam and Judaism are greatly different. Islam and Christianity are greatly different. That's one of the bigger differences, but there's a bigger difference even than that. There's a difference of who Jesus is, who God is, and how we are made right with God. Jesus is God in the flesh, say Christians. He died on the cross for our sins, rose from the grave to give us eternal life, and this changes everything. This changes our eternal future, and it changes how we live in the present. And Islam says, no, he wasn't God in the flesh, and no, he didn't die on the cross. These religions contradict themselves at the core. Muslims are in the Quran. The Quran is the only historical book to deny that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was written 600 years after the event, with none of the people having any access to the eyewitnesses who actually saw the event. Muhammad went into a cave in 600 and came out and said Jesus didn't die on the cross, while previously we had Greek, Roman, Christian, Jewish, and pagan historians who all chronicled Jesus' death on the cross. And yet Islam says that no, he did not die on the cross. And so these religions, again, contradict themselves at their core. To say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, in Islam is an unforgivable sin. And so you cannot be a Muslim Christian. You can't do it. These religions contradict themselves at their core. Are they different? Yes, they're wildly different. And so are the religions the same? No, they contradict themselves. How about Christianity and Judaism? Well, this one's a little bit more nuanced because these two share a past. They actually share a past. Both Christians and Jews felt that God had been revealing himself to the Jewish people, revealing who he was and what he is like and what he wants. Both Christians and Jews felt that God spoke to Abraham and began letting Abraham in on who he was and what he wanted and what he was like. Both Christians and Jews feel that God is speaking to the Jews, that he's speaking to Moses, letting Moses a little bit more in on this plan, further revealing who he was, what he was like, and what he wanted. And as the Old Testament continues, which Christian and Jews share as scripture, we both believe that he was speaking to King David, another the king of the Jews, the king of the kingdom. And they're speaking to David, further revealing who he was, what he was like, and what he wanted. And Christians believe that all of this revelation was leading up to something. There's a purpose of it, that it was preparing us for something. And Christians believe that all of this revelation, all of the Old Testament, was preparing God's people for the moment that he came in the flesh as Jesus Christ to save us. This is the purpose of all the revelation to Abraham, to Moses, to David. God had been letting them in on his plan so that they'd know when he came, when he sent his son, what he was doing. And that's what Christians believe Jesus is. He's a fulfillment of all of that revelation and all of that prophecy in the Old Testament. And Jews get off the bus before that stop. They say, we don't believe that all that revelation was about Jesus. We reject it. We're going in a different direction. And Jesus, when the Jews began rejecting him and his teachings, he said, well, there's consequences for you rejecting those teachings. He says, therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. God had been revealing himself to you. He had been with you. You had been his people, and he had been your God. But now that you're rejecting me. Now that you're choosing to go in a different direction, well, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people producing its fruits, Jesus' followers. Jesus said the kingdom, the people who will continue on in the trajectory that God had intended with all of this revelation are the people who follow me, and they will continue on to the kingdom of God. While Jews, again, reject Jesus and are not going there, they're going in a different direction. And so are they the same? No, these religions contradict themselves at their core. Again, they contradict themselves on who God is, on what God is like, and how we are made right with God. So when you learn about the religions, if people say that they believe that the religions are all the same, it's largely because they don't know what the religions actually teach. And all these religions, they claim to be unique. They claim to be unique paths. This is a unique path, each religion claims, and it leads us in different directions. And so each religion says you should follow this path, because we believe that this path is the truth. And so the religions are different. They claim to be different, and they're fine with that. They're not the same. And the knowledge that all of these are not the same, unfortunately, does not kill the myth. The knowledge that all of these religions claim to be unique, different, and lead in different directions will not kill this myth. The person will say, okay, fine, all right. Fine, all religions are not the same. I agree. I understand. They're not all the same. They're different. But all still lead to the truth. The myth mutates and lives again. And the person will say, sure, they're different, but you know what? They all lead to the same spot. And again, this contradicts the laws of basic logic. When you have contradictory claims, you have two options. Your options are that everyone is wrong or that one person is right. When you have multiple claims that contradict themselves, those are our two options. Everyone is wrong or one person is right. What you don't have an option to do is to say that everyone is right. That is not our option. But in America, we would rather believe the impossible and ignore that this cannot happen because we feel it's more loving and more tolerant to say that we're all right. It defies the laws of basic logic, but Americans hate the alternative. We hate the alternative. We hate the idea that one group of people could tell another group of people, we have the truth, and therefore you guys don't, and you're wrong. And we hate that idea. We hate the idea that one group of religious people could tell other contradictory groups of religious people that we have the truth and you do not. Americans are highly offended at that. That's called pluralism. When you choose to believe the impossible, when you choose to defy the basic laws of logic and yet somehow believe that different contradictory claims can all be true at the same time. Pluralists believe that all roads lead to God, even though it's impossible. But Americans hate the idea of telling others they're wrong, so we would rather believe that. And Americans are highly offended at religions that claim to have the truth. Because they say, how could you know that you have the truth? Don't you see all the other sincere people in the world who believe their beliefs just as sincerely as you do? But the truth doesn't work based on how sincerely you believe it. The truth is independent of how sincerely you hold it. And so our culture is very offended at Christians. When Christians tell atheists, we're right and you're wrong. We disagree. Atheists, you do not have the truth. There is a God and the way to him is Jesus Christ. Atheists, we are right and you are wrong. They're highly offended when Christians say that. They're highly offended when Christians tell Muslims, we are right and you are wrong. The way to God is not through Allah and his messenger Muhammad. It's through his son Jesus Christ. This is the way to God. And you should consider following this way because this is the right way. Our culture hates this. You might even feel some of the tension in you right now as you've been influenced by our culture to hate this. Our culture hates when Christians tell Buddhists, we are right. And we believe that you are wrong. The path to God or the path to whatever the end destination is not through denying your basic human desires and becoming enlightened. The path to God is through Jesus Christ, and you'll find peace and salvation and true enlightenment there. Buddhists, we believe we're right and you're wrong. Our culture hates this, and so we think pluralism is the way to go. That way we don't have to tell anybody that they're wrong, right? That way we can believe that all the sincere people of the world are right. But ironically, no group of people tells other people that they're right more and tells more people that they're wrong than pluralists. It's ironic and it's hypocritical. Most people don't see it, but pluralists tell Christians they're wrong. Pluralists say, Christians, you're wrong. Jesus is not the unique way to God. We have the truth. We know the way to God, and it's multiple different paths. You're wrong in your beliefs. Jesus is not unique. Pluralists tell Muslims, Muslims, you're wrong. The unique path to God is not through Allah and his messenger Muhammad. We, pluralists, have the truth. Pluralists tell Jews, they're wrong. Jews, the way to God is not through Yahweh. He's not the unique way to God. The way to God, we have the truth. Jews, you're wrong. Atheists, you're wrong. You don't have the truth. Pluralists tell almost everybody in the world that they're wrong. And they do so because the idea that there are multiple ways to God is uniquely a Western American viewpoint. And so pluralists tell all of those sincere people that they're wrong, even though their goal in starting out was loving. They wanted to affirm them and tell them that they're all right, but in doing so, ironically, they have to tell them that they're all wrong. And so pluralists, if you want to uphold and affirm other people, if you don't like telling other people that they're wrong, well, pluralism does not help you. It does not solve the problem. And so the idea that contradictory religions could all lead to God defies the laws of basic logic. And if we want to affirm sincere people, pluralism does not solve our problem. And this information does not still kill the myth. Okay, fine. So all religions are the same, and they claim to lead in different places. And so we can't say that they all lead to the truth if they all claim to lead in different places. Okay, that's fine. We'll adhere to the rules of basic logic. But the myth doesn't die here. It mutates and lives again. The person can say, well, fine. If we can't say that they're all right, then we have to say that no one can know the truth. And the myth will continue to live. And if you believe this myth, if you believe that no one can know the truth, well, then there's one guaranteed thing that will happen. Other people may come to know the truth, but you never will. If you believe that no one can know the truth and you actually believe that and you act upon it and you do not seek or worship God, then other people will come to know the truth, but you will be left behind because you believe this myth. And so if you believe this myth that no one can know the truth, I've got a better alternative for you. Why don't you just try? Put your heart into it. Just open yourself up to trying the teachings of Jesus Christ, because Jesus taught differently. Christians cannot believe this myth in any of its forms. We do not believe that all religions are the same. We do not believe that all religions lead to the truth. And we don't believe that no one can know the truth, because Jesus Christ taught differently. And we've experienced the fruit of those teachings. Let's turn to John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to John chapter 14. And we're going to read about what Jesus has to say about the truth, about how to find the way to God. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to John 14. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'll have the verses up behind me on the screen. And if you don't own a Bible, we have a Bible table in the back. Please take one of those Bibles home and make your own, read it throughout the week, and come back on Sundays. In John chapter 14, starting in verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And here Jesus is speaking to Jewish people. These Jewish people felt God was revealing who he was and what he was like to their ancestors. He started with Abraham. He continued on with Moses, revealing more. He continued on with King David, revealing more. And these Jews that Jesus is speaking to had believed that God had revealed himself to be the one true God, and his name was Yahweh. And so when Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people and he says, believe in God, immediately they know he's talking about Yahweh, the God that had been revealing himself, who he was and what he was like throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus tells these Jewish people, believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. Jesus is doing something different. He's doing something new. He says, you believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. What would Jesus have told a Muslim person if a Muslim person had existed at that time and was standing next to him? He'd say, believe in God, believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. What would Jesus have been told a Buddhist who was there? Believe in God. He's been revealing himself through Abraham and Moses and David. Believe in Yahweh. Believe also in me. What would he tell an atheist? Believe in God. Believe also in me. Here Jesus is letting us know that we need to believe not only in God, we need to believe in him. And he's going to go further and explain that later. But Jesus is pointing out that he's doing something different. Is your heart troubled? Is your heart troubled today? Do you want to know the path to God? Do you want to be comforted with a relationship with God? And do you want to be comforted by the truth? Jesus would tell you, believe in God and believe also in me. And if your heart is troubled, if you're looking for that comfort, if you want to know God, know the truth, believe in God and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know God today. And Jesus continues on, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is God's son. He's God come in the flesh to save us. He's a servant. He didn't come to conquer people who had rebelled. He didn't come to violently subdue all those who had strayed from the path of God. Jesus was God in the flesh, and he came to serve us out of love so that we would willingly turn and choose him. And when he talks about preparing a place, he's talking about what he's done, what his purpose is in coming to earth. Jesus prepares a place for us with God through his death on the cross for our sins, through his resurrection from the grave, which gives us eternal life. Jesus prepared a place for us in heaven. And he lets us willingly choose if he'll come or not. He came not to violently conquer, but to lovingly invite, so that we'd be willing to come. Jesus tries to break our heart with his love, so that we'll accept this invitation. He came to serve us. And he came to serve all of us. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus made sure that there's room for everybody who would like to accept this invitation. Jesus is a servant, and he serves in hopes that you'll come. And his purpose is to prepare a place for us with God. He continues on, he says, you know the way to where I'm going. And then the author John says, Thomas said to him, and I think it's important just to take a moment and remember that the author John was there. He remembers this because he had seen it. He remembers who had said what when. He remembers what questions they had asked. And he remembers what Jesus had replied because he was there. And the author John tells us at this point when Jesus said, you guys know the way I'm going, Thomas, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And is that the same question that all of us ask throughout our lives? How can we know? There are all these different sincere people with their sincerely held beliefs. How can we know the way? And the author John remembers Jesus responding. Jesus said back, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus says he is the way. He's the exclusive way. Now, the tough news for many people is that Jesus taught that no one comes to the Father except through him. The tough news is that Jesus taught there was one way. But the good news is that God had provided a way, a sure way, a way we can trust and a way we can know. And Jesus says that way is me. If you want to know God, I am the way. If you want to know the truth, I am the truth. Jesus was telling the disciples to trust in him for their salvation. And early Christians were originally called followers of the way. Before we were called Christians, people called us followers of the way. And we read about that through the book of Acts. Jesus had came to prepare a way for any who would come. And he gives the invitation to all. Jesus wants us to believe in him for our salvation. He continues on in verse 7. It says, if you had known me, if you had known me, what do you mean if you had known me, Jesus? We've been walking with you all this time. Well, Jesus is pointing out that if you ask the question, something is amiss. If you ask the question, how can we know the way? Something was amiss, because Jesus says, if you had known me, all this time that he's been with them, the disciples had not yet understood. They had not fully known Jesus Christ. And he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now I've explained it to you. Now you know. Now you no longer have to ask. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, wait a minute. Lord, show us the Father. If we know him, have seen him, then show us the Father if we've seen him, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus responds, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Hello? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What he's speaking of is not a New Age spirituality where God lives in us and we are a part of God and together we are God. New Age spiritualists read this and they say, well, Jesus was the Son of God, so what? I'm a son of God, we're all sons of God. No, Jesus is saying he's different. There's a difference here. He's doing something new. He says, do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is me? Jesus is God, we are not. And he's come to earth to save us. Do you want to know the Father? Don't look inside. Look to me. Do you know that if you see me, then you see the Father? Jesus says, do not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And so Jesus says, if we want to know the Father, then we must know him. There's no other way around it. He is the way to the Father. And Jesus has prepared a place in heaven for us with the Father by coming to earth to die on the cross for our sins, to rise from the grave to give us eternal life. And when we put our faith and trust in him, you'll begin to meet and know Jesus, and you'll know the Father. Jesus is no longer with us. He ascended into heaven. He's no longer with us in bodily form, but his Spirit is still here. The Holy Spirit is with us today in our presence as we gather. And if we want to know Jesus, if we want to know the Father, we must open our hearts up and worship and invite the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and begin a journey and begin a relationship. The difference between Christianity and other religions is that Christianity is more than a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with our Creator through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit which dwells with us today. And if you're interested in knowing the truth, if your heart is troubled, if you're willing to know the truth, if you're willing to know Jesus, then you will know God and you will be comforted by that truth. And he served you in hopes that if he'd prepare a place for you and that you'd come. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is here today. Lord, thank you for your presence. What an honor to be in your presence right now. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the love that he had for us, that he came not to conquer we who had rebelled, but came to lovingly serve and sacrifice himself for us, so that we choose willingly to return that love which you've shown. God, thank you for doing what we could not do. Thank you for making up for all of our mistakes and forgiving us for them through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us right now, that we could turn and open up our hearts to you. Lord, if we've been doubting, or Lord, if we've never encountered your Holy Spirit and have never believed. Lord, if we look at the world and we see all the sincere people with all the sincerely held beliefs and we wonder, how can we know the truth? God, we pray that you'd bless us, that as we open up our hearts right now, you would speak to us and minister to us out of the power of your Holy Spirit. God, help us to trust in you for our salvation. Help us to know Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know the way. And Lord, we pray that as we join you in worship, that you'd meet us here with your Holy Spirit and open up the eyes of our hearts to your truth. And Lord, we pray for the offering that we're about to receive, God, that you'd bless these gifts, that they could be used to go and open up the eyes of other people, that we use these resources to open up the eyes of people in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.